Investors Mike Novogratz, he says Galaxy Digital is going to start trading on Toronto's TSX Venture Exchange. This, of course, is the crypto-focused merchant bank that Mr. Novogratz has founded. Also, Bill Miller, U.S. investor and Miller Value Partners founder and chief investment officer, believes Bitcoin is the best cryptocurrency to invest in. He has invested for his clients and for himself. Here to tell us more about this world is Perianne Boring, the founder and president of the Chamber of Digital Commerce, and Paul Atkins, former Securities and Exchange Commissioner. He's also chief executive and founder of Patomac Global Partners, based all in Washington, D.C. Perianne, maybe you could just begin by explaining what is the Chamber of Digital Commerce, and you've recently launched a report, and I'm sure the people in the crypto currency industry would be interested in hearing more about that as well. Tell us.
Hi there, and thanks for having me. The Chamber of Digital Commerce is the world's largest trade association representing the blockchain technology industry. We represent over 200 companies that are investing in and innovating with blockchain-based technologies. This includes global financial institutions, technology companies, and firms, as well as cutting-edge startups that are pioneering in crypto. Today, we have released a new report. We have an initiative called the Token Alliance, and we issued a report to create operating principles for tokens and so-called utility tokens. This is an emerging aspect of the token economy that is fighting to be recognized. So this is a self-regulatory proposal to both industry and policymakers for proper governance for digital tokens.
So, Paul, come on in here, because you helped out with this report. You're a former SEC commissioner. You've been in the regulatory side of things. Here you are trying to give advice to an area that a lot of people think is rife with fraud. There certainly has been a lot of money raised for some dubious purposes. What would you like to see with the ICO industry right now?
Well, thanks, Lisa. That's a great point. And that's really why we have worked on this paper now for many months with like 350 people from law firms and consultancies and whatnot contributing to it. So the real problem is that you do have bad actors in the area, of course, and the government is already going after and will continue to go after them. But also you have good actors and people who are, like Perianne was saying, who are trying to innovate and come out with new products. And the technology, the underlying technology of blockchain, is pretty transformative and very exciting for the potential developments that will come out of it. So what we're trying to do here is, this is a private sector effort to try to give people predictability and some guidelines, ground rails, and that sort of thing, to be able to set forth their business, because the law right now is based on principles, general principles coming out from a few court cases in the general securities laws. And so it makes it difficult oftentimes for people to apply those principles to specific fact patterns. So this is an attempt to try to help them do that so that they can avoid getting in trouble with the SEC or the Commodity Futures Trading Commission or the various other government regulatory bodies.
Perianne, how much is this an effort to kind of circumvent regulation that could seriously hamper this industry? In other words, there have been a lot of problems with this industry, so might as well try to get out ahead of that, sort of put a Band-Aid over any problems and be able to sort of go your merry way without too much regulatory oversight.
To be clear, this is not about circumventing regulation. This is about recognizing the unique and transformative potential of blockchain technology and applying a governance structure that is appropriate for the transformative technology of what blockchain is. We believe at the Chamber of Digital Commerce that any asset, tangible or intangible, can be tokenized, represented in a token form, recorded, tracked, and traded on a blockchain. And this can enable many transactions across the industry and the ecosystem to be faster, cheaper, and more efficient than ever before. What we are saying here is that securities laws are not always appropriate for digital tokens. A digital token could be a security security. And if for the project owners are meant for it to be a security, then securities laws would be appropriate in that particular project. But there's many other projects out there that have nothing to do with securities. A digital token could represent a vote in a voting system. It could represent your digital identity. It could be a digital currency like Bitcoin, or it could be a token that tracks physical assets in the real world. And if we are taking securities laws and broadly forcing all blockchain-based assets to apply to securities laws, one, it won't work. It will not be operable with this new these new decentralized networks, and it will destroy the opportunity for blockchain technology to flourish in the United States. It's not about circumventing regulations. It's about coming up with new regulatory approaches that are appropriate for the 21st century.
Paul Atkins, why does the world need a digital currency?
Whether people will decide that for themselves, whether they want to use digital currency.
No, I understand that, but why do you believe that the world needs a digital currency?
Well, this is more than about the digital currencies. Like Perriam was saying, there are lots of uses for blockchain technology and for tokens. Digital currency is but one manifestation of that, one type of product. And so there are lots of, we're seeing, like for example, with Ripple, where digital currency is enabling business-to-business, bank-to-bank transactions to go much more quickly than normally and through the normal central banking system. So there are lots, that's just one example. So there are lots of examples of where a digital currency, whether it be used immediately in commerce to buy a Coca-Cola or something, there are lots of uses for this technology. And so that's why, to Perry Ann's point, we don't really know where all of this innovation is going to go as people explore and experiment. And so what we're trying to do is help people to stay on, the right path so that they don't get in trouble with the law, and that we can have a really robust development of this technology in the United States and people don't go abroad.
So, Perriam, just real quick, we just have about 30 seconds left. What proportion of initial coin offerings at this point do you think are very much legitimate and have staying power and represent fundraisers for legitimate companies?
Well, tokens can represent beyond a fundraising activity. There certainly is fraud and abuse in the markets, and the whole point of the Chamber of Digital Commerce and convening the Token Alliance is to bring the industry together to address illicit activity, to combat that activity, and have a way and a platform to do so.
Yeah. Perriam Boring, thank you so much for being with us. Perriam Boring, founder and president of the Chamber of Digital Commerce. Also, Paul Atkins, former SEC commissioner and also chief executive and founder of Potomac Global Partners, both of them in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for being with us and going over this report.